It's not just about the investors, it's companies, it's NGOs, it's regulators. Everybody needs transparency if you're going to understand how an organization is creating value.
Hey friends, how are you? Hope you're doing well. I'm doing great. Thanks for asking, by the way. By the way, this is Future Proof, in case you were wondering, episode number 114. To be exact, I am Bill Sheridan, the MC of this little weekly gathering. Happy to be here. Happy that you're here. Let's get rolling, shall we, with this little tidbit, actually. This week's show, as always, is sponsored by the Business Learning Institute, which delivers competency-based curriculum, courses, content, and, yes, community to maximize career trajectories and grow intellectual capital for organizational and executive leadership. Hundreds of courses, dozens of instructors, including yours truly, and unlimited customization. Find out how the Business Learning Institute can help you by visiting blionline.org. So, what are we talking about this week? Now that you ask. Right. Integrated reporting. This stuff is fascinating to me. And quit looking at me weird, okay? I geek out over stuff like this. I'll admit it. Integrated reporting. It's like financial reporting on steroids because, I mean, let's face it, your stereotypical 500-page financial report, it's just packed with numbers that really, they're mostly just numbers for numbers' sake. They don't really mean much. They don't certainly don't tell us any stories about your business, right? And those financial reports are history, or they soon will be. We're living in a different time, right? A different world. We're working for different organizations that are impacted by different issues, and we need financial reports that tell different stories and communicate different value than those of the past. You know, the World Economic Forum, they just recently released a statement to coincide with the 75th anniversary of the founding of the United Nations. And this statement was signed by more than 1,000 CEOs of the organizations from various industries and regions and of different sizes. And the statement was designed to demonstrate their support for the UN and what it stands for. So in other words, number one, peace and security. Number two, human rights. And number three, development. Now, what does all of that have to do with business? And here's the answer, according to the World Economic Forum. They write, quote, "There is a strong business case for the promotion of peace, justice, and strong institutions. Substantially reducing corruption and illicit financial flows are not only targets of these goals, they are conditions precedent to achieving sustainable development." During interviews, business leaders were directly asked the following question: how do peace, justice, and strong institutions relate to business? And here's how they responded. Number one, good governance is the foundation of good business. Accountable, effective, and transparent institutions at all levels are fundamental to peace, justice, and strong institutions. These objectives are equally important for the public and private sectors, especially in times of crisis. Number two, without strong institutions, businesses cannot operate properly. Over the past year, the world has seen global protests denouncing racial injustice, gender inequality, rather, and the lack of progress on environmental goals. These global movements indicate a lack of trust in global and national institutions and recall the need for strong institutions to support partnerships between civil society, government, and business. And number three, many businesses are already engaging in this way, but don't know it. The goals of peace, justice, and strong institutions are incredibly broad, but many businesses have already internalized aspects of these goals in their everyday functioning. For instance, many businesses have anti-corruption policies, which set out their expectations and standards for transparency and accountability. As such, more businesses must now create deliberate and explicit connections between their policies to increase their visibility and drive further industry and systemic change by setting a positive example. End quote. And you know what all that means? It means we need businesses to engage in a different kind of reporting that will reveal the connections between their social and environmental initiatives and their financial achievement. And that type of reporting is called integrated reporting. And here's how EY describes integrated reporting. They say that central to the idea of integrated reporting, quote, is the proposition that value is increasingly shaped by factors additional to financial performance, such as reliance on the environment, social reputation, human capital skills, and others. This value creation concept is the backbone of integrated reporting and, we believe, is the direction for the future of corporate reporting, end quote. So, whew, all that said, and that's a mouthful, this week I wanted to find out more about this idea of integrated reporting, and who better really to talk to than Charles Tilley. Charles is CEO of the International Integrated Reporting Council, and previously chaired the IIRC's Technical Task Force, which is the group responsible for developing the integrated reporting framework. He's also a member of the UK Financial Reporting Council's lab and the A4S Advisory Council, among many other memberships and accomplishments. And Charles, he brought me up to speed with where we are with integrated reporting and what the benefits are for organizations and stakeholders alike, and what the future of this type of reporting might look like. So great stuff here this week, really important stuff when it comes to the future of our profession, and really the future of the finance function specifically. So I am happy to offer you my conversation this week with Charles Tilley. So Charles, thank you so much for joining me today. I guess first question, it seems to be the first question that a lot of conversations start with today. How are you? How are things in London, by the way? How are Londoners dealing with all this chaos that we are struggling with these days?
Well, it's a great question, Bill. And in a way, one doesn't know. I mean, I think everybody's struggling, and we're seeing, you know, a lot of initiatives and then U-turns. We're at the moment, you know, waiting for the Prime Minister to say yet again what's going to happen next. And the rumor is, probably the correct rumor, is that we're not going to be able to stay in restaurants and pubs after 10 p.m. But right now, it's a beautiful day, and it's been a fantastic summer. So, you know, there's a lot good out there, as well as, you know, some real uncertainty and obviously challenges, not just for individuals, but for businesses and society at large.
Indeed. And I love that mindset, though, is, you know, as much as we can to find the beauty and the good things that we're dealing with. We can stay focused on that. Maybe we can come out of this thing a little better off. So to the point for our conversation today, so integrated reporting, tell me what it is exactly.
This is going to be a slightly long answer because I think one needs the context. But as a society, I think, you know, we want businesses to be a force for good. We want them to be responsible in meeting the needs of its customers, you know, delivering the purpose of what they're there for their customers, how they deal with their employees, and not just the employees that work in the company, but also in the supply chain. And then, of course, very importantly, how those organizations are responsibly dealing with the environment. And I think society also wants businesses to contribute directly and indirectly to the public sector. And of course, as investors, we all are looking for, you know, our pensions, our savings to be successful. So with that backdrop, you need you know, businesses to meet the needs of its stakeholders, and those are often competing and challenging. You know, looking after your customers, looking after your staff, making money, they're not necessarily all aligned. So it's achieving a sustainable, connected, integrated, aligned, and focused organization is something which is actually really challenging. And Integrated thinking is a way of to address those challenges, and integrated reporting is about how do you tell that story. So it's the heart of this is focused on a multi-capital business model. And what I mean by multi-capital is how you're dealing with all of your different resources and leveraging those resources. The alignment of your metrics and your incentives so that everything is ultimately aimed at delivering your purpose. And it's in the context of a dynamic, and we're seeing at the moment, you know, a really critical external environment. So what we're doing is providing a framework for both governance and management to address opportunities and risks. And integrated reporting is a way of both reporting internally and externally for the organization to be able to tell its story to its stakeholders. And the way that we do this is because it's underpinned by our multi-capital and integrated reporting framework and our guidance. As I say, quite a long answer, but I think it's important to set that context and say what we're doing. And interestingly, just today, the World Economic Forum, which we all know as is summarized by Davos, they issued their latest report, and in that report, they conclude by saying that you've got to report upon the things and the things that really matter in a particular business. You need to integrate them into your governance and business strategy and performance. And if a company demonstrates to its shareholders and stakeholders, so your customers, employees, etc., that it's diligently addressing the risks and opportunities in the business, those organizations are responsible, and they also are the ones that are most successful in terms of long-term success. So interesting to see that report coming out today, because it really, you know, underpins and supports everything we're doing. And you may not know, but I mean, the World Economic Forum International Business Council comprises about 200 of the largest companies in the world. So for them to be saying this, I think is very powerful.
Sure, sure. And I mean, it may go without saying, but from a business point of view, what's happening today that makes this kind of reporting so crucial?
Well, I think that in many respects, this has always been important. But I mean, there is clearly you want your companies to be successful, i.e., that they're making money over time, they're creating value over time. But the companies are only going to really be successful if they're meeting the needs of their customers. They're delivering on their purpose, and they're doing that responsibly. And you know, and I think this current pandemic has really demonstrated the importance of the trade-off of profitability on one side, but how you look after your employees, for instance, on the other side. And we've had, you know, for a long time, and it's obviously becoming more substantive. The whole issues about climate and also inequality and how those things are being addressed, which are not just company specific things. They're where government needs to lead, but with working with businesses. And these are all you can't just say I want to be profitable. You want to say I want to be profitable. I want to provide to you the products that you're particularly looking for. And at the same time, I want to look after my staff. Take those three things alone. Making sure that you do that in an aligned way is not actually that easy. And if you then take your supply chain, where you've got products coming from all over the world, and how you balance all of that, and again, making sure that the supply chain is both looking after their employees and following your beliefs and values. Again, it's not easy. It's complex stuff.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I'm curious, what kind of things would investors or the public learn about organizations that incorporate this type of reporting that they wouldn't about you know, other organizations or how they've learned about how successful organizations are, how we've learned about that traditionally in the past? What kind of new things would we be learning?
Well, I think, first of all, I mean, if you just take any situation, you would be, if you want to invest in something and you're just told that a company is making X amount of money, we're making 100,000 US a year, and you don't have much information about actually how it's making that money, you know, you're not going to be as positive about investing in the company as you would otherwise be. And there's a lot of evidence out there that, you know, the transparency piece is really important in terms of deciding whether people want to do business with an organization or not. And I mean, here in the UK, for instance, you know, this week I was thinking of buying actually some travel insurance, and I went online to look at the company's annual report, which you can now do just obviously using Google very easily indeed. And I immediately saw that this was a company which was not very, A, wasn't giving out very much information, and B, was, at least what I did see was insubstantial. So I wasn't going to use them for my annual travel insurance. Mm-hmm. So I think it's not just about the investors, it's companies, it's NGOs, it's regulators. Everybody needs transparency if you're going to understand how an organization is creating value. So there is that piece. I think the other thing, and the thing which has changed, you know, dramatically over the last 10 or 20 years is social media. So, you know, if 20 years ago, if you didn't like what a company was doing, you might be able to communicate that to a small number of people, your friend group, for instance, friendship group. Mm-hmm. Today, you know, you just tweet saying, you know, this company is not treating its staff well, it's using slave labor in another part of the world, or whatever it might be, and immediately their reputation is at risk. Mm-hmm. So this is doing two things. It's driving, it's telling your story, but more importantly, I think it's changing behaviors to so that companies are very, very alert to what really is, you know, what are the relationships which are really important for them, and as a consequence, how they need to be very cognizant about working with those relationships, working well with those relationships, and protecting them.
Well, it's kind of, I mean, it seems to me that, yeah, I mean, given some of the issues that we're facing these days, that this is, I mean, really kind of a form of social responsibility, you know, to kind of step up and say, this is how we're handling these types of things, and this is what you can expect if you do business with us. And I mean, it just seems to me that we're in kind of a new era, and this is something that our organizations have to take upon themselves to say, this is how we're dealing with these things.
Yeah, I mean, I like to think of it as responsible capitalism. The report I referred to earlier from the World Economic Forum refers to stakeholder capitalism, but it's absolutely, you know, if you want to be trusted, then you have to be transparent. You have to give, you know, not just the good information, but actually the balanced, the bad, you know, the area, the issues. So, you know, the report needs to be balanced, and really just talking about, as I say, how you're creating value. And, you know, one of the reasons why things have changed, Bill, is that, 40 years ago, the vast majority of the value of businesses was represented by their shareholder reserves that sat on their balance sheet. Today, and, you know, it was over 80%. Today, that figure is less than 15% and going down. So, you know, if you want to understand, particularly the tech companies, you know, if you want to understand, you know, how Amazon is working, how Google, whatever, you just look at their balance sheet and their profit and loss account, it's not going to tell you very much. It because of the fact that they are creating value out of their business model and the way that they are dealing with matters, which are much wider. Well, they're using their data and their technology to create value, and explaining that and explaining how they're doing that responsibly for their customers and employees and society is really important.
Yeah, I mean, so clearly there are a lot of benefits to this type of reporting, both for stakeholders and for the organizations themselves. What are some of the challenges that you see that we are running into when it comes to this type of reporting?
Well, I think I don't think the challenges are new. I mean, I think the environment in which we're operating is new, whether that be, you know, the massive change in technology, the massive change as a consequence of this pandemic, and the impact of that on social media and so forth. But in terms of running an organization well and adapting to change, I don't think that's particularly new at all. I mean, the starting block is, you know, being very, very clear about how your organization is creating value. So understanding having a really good understanding of your business model is the starting point. What is it that you need to be able to build, to deliver your products and services to your customers? What are your key resources? So there, the relationships are absolutely critical, and your intellectual property and your manufacturing capacity or whatever it might be. And then how you're delivering that, but really importantly, how you reacting to what's happening in the external environment. So, you know, if we just think about, yeah, I don't know about you, but you look as if you're quite a lot younger than me, actually, Bill. But
much younger, but
if you think about the fact, you know, we've gone from vinyl to tape to CDs to now things being streamed. Just stream down onto your iPhone or whatever. That change is a 50-year change at most, and so for a company to be able to understand that, be able to position itself in that with regard to that change, is the first thing. You need to really be aware of how technology is changing. There is, because many things, the needs haven't changed at all. We want to listen to music. Right. It's just, you know, so the customer needs hasn't changed, but how it's delivered has changed massively. And being able to react to that is hugely important. The other thing then is how do you actually manage your organization in terms of your metrics? I mean, if you want to make sure that all the elements are working together, so, you know, your sales is working with your marketing, is working with your production, how all those metrics are integrated and aligned is hugely challenging. And if you add incentives to that, so you put money on whatever, it becomes even more challenging, getting people to do the right thing. And certainly, as a CEO myself for 15 years, you know, I spent about 2 weeks every year at the beginning of our planning, during our planning process, to make sure everything was aligned, including the incentives. And we did, I think, a pretty good job. We grew the business pretty well, but there were always mistakes. You know, every year, you know, you thought you'd got something right. You got people incentivized, for instance, working as a team, but actually, somehow or other, that meant you undermined leadership or whatever it might be. You know, you were always doing so. It's very complex. And I think the other big challenge is there is so much data out there now that how you use that data in a way which allows you to take good, well-informed decisions, which goes back to, you know, the transparency piece as well, is really important and really and difficult.
How far has this movement come to date, as you're looking at it? What kind of progress have we made?
I think we've made, I mean, like all these things, you know, one in the media, you tend to, you know, focus on the bad things. And, you know, there are plenty of them out there in one way or another. Companies mistreating their, taking advantage of elderly customers, or the Wirecard fraud that's just happened, or whatever it might be. But overall, you know, most businesses, I think, and boards of those businesses are trying to do a good, do the right thing. But I think I think where we've come to, and are moving very fast in most parts of the world, is, you know, is a clear understanding of what you were talking about earlier, the social responsibility, but not at the cost of making money, at the cost of doing the right thing and therefore being a successful organization. So, you know, it reputation is so important. Reputation is critical because customers want to go to that particular company versus one which is known to, you know, treat people badly, whatever it might be. So in that respect, if you want to be a successful company, innovation is really important. Have you got innovative employees? Well, you want to be somewhere where people want to go to work. So reputation is really important. So I think we're in a position today where there is an understanding that responsible capitalism means long-term organizational success. I think there is then the challenges, as I mentioned earlier, of data. There's the challenges of integration, and those are, you know, they're not going to be sorted. Well, we'll never have a perfect solution, I would say, Bill. You know, we're on a journey. But it's pretty, at least people have got their eyes open, I would say.
That's great.
But by the way, there will always be some bad people in this world.
I mean, yeah, no matter what we do.
But great, you know, the focus on trust is what we're talking about here. And I think, you know, what I talked about earlier in terms of where value is created today versus 30, 40 years ago, in places like the Amazons of this world, is you know, that this is, we're just basically moving to 21st century accounting. You know, this is, you know, how you account for your people, your relationships, all that sort of stuff is what we're talking about. And it's not easy. It's much more difficult than just counting 1 + 1 = 2.
Sure. And I'm kind of curious too. I mean, some of the issues that we were talking about earlier, you know, climate and the pandemic and diversity and inclusion and issues related to all of these things. And you had mentioned just a few moments ago, in most parts of the world, this is happening, or in some parts of the world, it seems like issues like that, for whatever reason, have tended to be politicized in certain ways. Are you running into any barriers to adoption of this type of reporting because of political issues when it comes to any of this type of stuff? I don't know if that's a factor or not.
I think policy is government policy is really important, and you know, it would be lovely, wouldn't it, if you had global regulation which was both consistent, right? You know, regulation consistent across the globe. It would be lovely if that regulation was agile, so it was fit for purpose in today's world rather than yesterday's world.
Right.
And it would be lovely also if you didn't have competing regulation where people are trying to get, you know, a company to work, to come into their particular country rather than somebody else, so that they're giving advantages which some people would say were unfair. So, I mean, I think regulation it will always be an issue. It's because there is, if you like, global competition. I mean, I think you're seeing it in your country at the moment. Make, you know, America great again. It doesn't matter where you are. There is an element of that political need. I think the most significant move from a environmental, societal, and governance perspective is currently in continental Europe, and the European Commission is focusing upon non-financial reporting and updating their directive there. And I mean, what certainly our position is that we're supportive of it, but we would like to make sure that what they're talking about there is linked to performance, not separate from performance. We don't want two silos. This is, you know, the value creation is something which is, you know, you can't separate it out between the environment on one side and profit on the other. They're all one thing, two sides of the same coin.
Very much
so. And we would also like, you know, the European focus is great. If they show that, they're showing that leadership, but if they can be showing that leadership that is focused upon an international solution and is also going to deliver is built upon a lot of good work that's already out there. You know, we with our framework, which connects all the various different resources and relationships with the standards that is focused upon the measurement of those issues. Let's make sure that we don't start with yet another new initiative, but instead focus upon what's already out there. So, I mean, interestingly, I've just literally, just as we speak, an email which says that Mark Carney has just said that we need to put in place frameworks that every finance decision takes into account climate change. So we're linking, that's where we're linking finance and climate change. We're not seeing them as separate.
Sure.
So, and he's also gone on to say, which I have to say is, as far as I'm concerned, because Mark Carney has a very loud voice, he's just said it starts with reporting. This should be integrated reporting. I mean, I can't, you know, that for me is brilliant.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, tell me a little bit about the IIRC. Now, this seems like, I mean, it is truly a global kind of coalition. Who are your collaborators and what are your goals at this point?
Well, the collaborators are, you know, they range from global organizations such as the World Bank, IOSCO, organizations such as that. They then move to investors, companies, the accounting profession, because as I said, this is, you know, 21st century accounting, and NGOs as well. And of course, the standard setters with a view that we're all working together. So this is, that's what it consists of. Our council is around 60 people. In terms of how we've been going for about 10 years, about 2,000 companies globally, well over 2,000 companies actually adopt integrated reporting and integrated thinking, and it's pointed to or actually adopted by about 40 regulators around the world. Mm. So, you know, it's a important, in terms of, you know, what are our goals? Our goals are really twofold. One is, you know, they're obviously, you know, I mean, the over 2,000 companies is mainly large companies. This actually is just as important. These concepts are just as important for any company, and it's also important from a public sector perspective. You know, how you think about the integration and delivery of health, well-being, education, security is, you know, even more important in a way in the public sector. So strengthening developing the adoption globally is one track. And the other track is coming together with a comprehensive reporting solution so that we really do have what companies need to report is clear, straightforward, and comprises that financial and non-financial reporting in a connected, integrated way.
What does the future of this initiative look like to you, Charles? I mean, you say the council there has been around for about 10 years. Say 10 years down the road, where would you hope to be eventually?
I suppose really as I said before, there are many companies out there which are already behaving very responsibly. Probably the majority of companies, and they understand the importance of their reputation. What I would like to think in 10 years' time is that, you know, everybody appreciates that telling their story in a transparent, open, balanced way and addressing all of their relationships is just the norm, and that there is a clear framework for delivering that, which is agile as and moves as societal norms move.
Well, Charles, I appreciate you taking the time. Thank you so much for the insights. Good luck to you and the rest of the council. Let's pick up this conversation again sometime down the road and see where we're at. But in the meantime, take care of yourself, and thanks again for being here.
Well, Bill, I've enjoyed talking to you, and delighted to pick it up again in a year, 2 years, whatever time frame. That would be great. Thanks a lot.
Great stuff there this week. Really thoughtful, kind of thought-provoking stuff from Charles Tilley. He's the CEO of the International Integrated Reporting Council, and he's former chair of the IIRC's Technical Task Force, which developed the Integrated Reporting Framework. If you'd like to find out more, visit the IIRC's website. That's at integratedreporting.org. And if you're curious how tightly connected this concept is to the accounting and finance profession, I mean, AICPA President and CEO Barry Melanson is the chair of the IIRC board. The council includes members of Chartered Accountants Australia and New Zealand, CPA Australia, CPA Canada, EY, and Deloitte, the Institutes of Chartered Accountants in England and Wales and India, the IMA, the International Accounting Standards Board, the Sustainability Accounting Standards Board. I mean, the list goes on and on. You'll find a full list of members on the IIRC website. Finally, don't forget, this week's sponsor is the Business Learning Institute. The BLI's Future Ready Learning Framework outlines the skills that CPAs need to thrive in the rapidly changing world of accounting and finance. That framework is all about gaining and maintaining deep technical knowledge, rather, along with a strategic skill set. And we are talking about strategic aptitudes that have been identified as most crucial for tomorrow's CPA. Start mastering these future-ready skills now by visiting macpa.org/future-learning-framework. And that's it, gang. Have a great week. Talk to you again soon.